What's up, y'all? Welcome back to Sports Minded. I'm your host, Brittany Young. Let me introduce my guest. She's a Birmingham, Alabama native, former Miss Alabama, Gatorade Player of the Year, McDonald's All-American nominee, two-time state champion and MVP at Midfield High School, former LSU women's basketball player, former professional basketball player in Portugal, founder and CEO of the Clutch Collection, founder of the Together We Can Foundation, author of the Stronger Everyday ebook, and my former teammate, Courtney Green. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Britt. So excited to be here.
I'm so excited to have you. And as I celebrate 1 year of Sports Minded, I think it's dope that I have you on for episode 12. So, yeah.
I appreciate that.
So,
Congratulations, sis.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. So first I want to ask, how did you get started playing basketball?
Well, I got my first start at the YMCA. My dad was a coach there. So my brother, he was on the team. As you know, the years progressed, I just found a liking and an interest in it. And I just wanted to give it a try. And, you know, turns out I had a little skill.
So how did the connection come about for you to play with the Roadrunners AAU organization?
I got my connection there with my church member, Miss Patricia Brown. She was one of the coaches for Coach Bell. And I tried out with them and I love the organization. So I just stuck with it and I just grew up from there, from basketball.
Okay. Now I want to talk about, you also played volleyball in middle school and high school, right? So I want to ask, if Midfield had a good program for volleyball, would you have considered being a two-sport athlete in college, or volleyball even being your main sport?
I thought about it, but unfortunately our volleyball team in high school wasn't really that good. And I just love to play just because I'm competitive. But had we, you know, had some kind of competition there, I may have would have considered it. But basketball was my first love and it's my passion and it's just what I did year round. So I just decided to go with that.
Okay, you were good at volleyball, so I just always wondered that, you know.
Yeah.
So you're the most decorated player or athlete to come through Midfield High School, one of the most decorated athletes to come through the state of Alabama. We talked about Miss Alabama, Gatorade Player of the Year, MVP honors, two-time state champion. Of all of those accomplishments, is there one that's most special to you?
I mean, they're all pretty dear to me, but I would say that probably Miss Alabama, only because, you know, that year our class was stacked. We had a lot of players to go professional D1. So I think that meant a lot to me to win that honor. It's the highest, one of the highest honors in, you know, Alabama. So that meant more to me. And then that's how I met my husband. He was Mr. Alabama. So.
Okay. I don't think I realized that. That's cool.
The same year.
Okay, we're gonna get into talk about Jermichael, but I will say, because we're, like I said, former teammates, the two of the state championships we won together, your junior and senior years, my freshman and sophomore years, and it was so fun to play with you and all of my teammates, Meredith, Erica, Tyler, Brandy. I don't want to miss anybody, everybody that I played with. But, you know, being a point guard in the team we had, it was so fun, especially getting out in transition, because I knew you was going to run that floor. And I knew I could find you, and I knew whatever pass I was going to throw at you, you were going to catch it. And it was just so fun having so many options. Just like if a quarterback, you know, you got a fine running back in the backfield. You have a great wide receivers, tight ends. You have so many options. It's fun. So I just enjoyed my years of playing with you specifically. And you kind of remind me watching Nafisa Collier in the WNBA now. It was kind of how you played back in the day. Y'all have similar games. So I just wanted to shout you out on that.
Appreciate you. You know, we had a lot of fun. And I think the key to our chemistry was that we enjoyed each other. You know what I'm saying? We had a relationship off the court. Practice was fun. We loved competing. And you know what? You're very talented. You want to go to Mississippi State. So I think that our whole, bonding moment really helped us grow as a team and stick together in a lot of ways.
Yeah. So we had great teams. We talked about that. I had Coach Barber on, had Coach Ware on. So I love talking about our time at midfield. So kudos to all of my teammates. Shout out to y'all. Love y'all.
Yeah.
Okay. So after you, I want to ask, okay, you were heavily recruited. I remember we went on a team, we went to team camp in Tallahassee, Florida. And at the time, Florida State was recruiting you. And I kind of thought they were going to be number one. So at what point did you decide you wanted to play at LSU? And what was the main factor of you going to LSU?
I honestly always wanted to go to LSU. Their program was just, cream of the crop. And they had Sylvia Fowles, Ashley Thomas, they had guard play. And I just always saw myself competing on that level. But unfortunately, my junior year, they had a coach to step down and that took a hit in recruiting. So, of course, I had to go back and see what my other options were. And I just fell in love with Florida State. We had been there every summer during teen camp, and I got to know the coaches. One of my good friends, Courtney Ward, was there. So I've already had that relationship with her. I love playing with her too. So I was like, okay, well, let me try this option. So I actually verbally committed to Florida State around October. But then LSU coach Travis Mays gave me a call out of the blue. I had already, getting ready to do all my visits and stuff like that. And he wanted me to come for a visit. And at that moment, I just fell in love with it. The culture there, their team, their facilities, the atmosphere, the people, the food. I just love Louisiana. So as soon as I got in the car ready to go home, I was like, I want to come here. I'm ready to sign the papers.
Okay. Well, good deal. So after you left LSU, you played overseas in Portugal. How was that experience for you, and what made you decide to just hang it up for good?
I love the culture there. I wanted to have that experience just to see what it was like. While I was still young and I didn't have any injuries, I still wanted to kind of spread my wings a little bit and fly just to see what, because I've never traveled overseas before at that point. So I was very interested in seeing what my teammates were like. And I was just really excited to be over there. I think that when I got back home, I was just burned out. We were playing all summer, training. I didn't have a break to do anything. So it was at that point I was like, I'm ready to move forward with my life. I think I gave basketball everything that I could give it. And I was slowly kind of just losing my fire with it. You know what I'm saying? I would wake up and I was like, I cannot, I didn't want to go to practice. And if you know that being an American player overseas, they require you to practice twice a day. You have to stay in contact. You're traveling. I was homesick. And I'm just like, I'm ready to be a normal person. So I think at that point, I was just ready to give it up. And then I was dating my now husband, well, my husband, Jamichael. And I just wanted to support him and just, live my basketball dreams through him.
Yeah. So when you said the American players, they wanted you to practice twice a day, was everybody not required to practice twice a day? Like even the players from over there?
No, so a lot of the people on the national team, a lot of the players on the national team, they were in high school and they were in college. So they would go to school the first portion of the day. So we were just over there doing basically working a job. So they didn't want us to be idle for too much time. So they were required us to come in the morning, do strength training, light practice. And then we have to come back in the evening with everybody to practice.
Okay. I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got your master's in sports pedagogy while at LSU. What did you initially want to do with that degree career-wise? And then what eventually pushed you towards entrepreneurship?
Well, I got my bachelor's degree at LSU in sports administration, and then I got my master's in sports pedagogy from Liberty University. I initially wanted to go
Oh.
into broadcasting, but I kind of envy what the kids have now. They have like player development, someone to kind of push them and give them options to see what life will be like after college. We really didn't have that, you know what I'm saying? So at that moment, I took a break and was kind of trying to see what I wanted for myself, as a career. So I went back to school and I wanted to get into physical therapy, not physical therapy, but psychology. I wanted to kind of help those athletes who didn't have an avenue after college to succeed in that. Which I kind of do now. I kind of mentor young athletes and I kind of, help prepare them for life after sports. But I just felt like that was just a key part of my adulthood that I was just missing. So I wanted to really focus on that.
Okay, and then the entrepreneurship side of, okay, let me just, you were just passionate about, I want to do my own thing, or?
Yeah, well, I tried working a few jobs and it just was not for me. I cannot see myself going to a 9 to 5 and just being there and working for somebody else. You know what I'm saying? I had kids and in my schedule, it was just too much. My husband was traveling. So whenever he would go to like LA or, Miami or whatever and Texas, I was like, I want to go to the game. I can't do that when I work a job. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna take a leap of faith and just figure out what I want to do next with my life. And then that's when I started getting into more businesses. COVID hit, so I couldn't really work. And after that, I had my daughter Jordan, and then my husband was traded. So I was like, you know what? We got together and we was like, well, let's start some businesses. I first started with my environmental business where we do like trash concierge, we do like hazardous pickup. We clean the communities after storms. So we do a lot of things. And then we start getting into real estate and it just got fun. You know what I'm saying? I just started creating some wealth within myself without having to work for somebody else. So it just worked out that way.
Okay, because I was going to ask you, like, your mindset, and you just pretty much said you didn't want to do the 9 to 5, but also ask you, was your husband's career a factor in you wanting to pursue entrepreneurship? Because it's hard to be committed to one place in a specific location when the lifestyle of a professional athlete is so uncertain. They could be traded or, become a free agent. You never know what's going to happen. So I was trying to see if that also played a huge part in it. But you talked about wanting to be able to go to the games and have flexibility. So
Yeah,
that
and
makes
I
sense.
think that his career is like you said, you can be traded, you can be going to practice, and they'll just come back and say you're traded. It just was, it made it really hard to get settled somewhere, so I had to make sure that I was able to move along with him. And I feel what Aisha Kerr was saying, like I never initially planned to be a housewife or basketball wife. That was not my plan for me. Definitely not to have 5 children. But I'm so blessed and I'm so thankful where I am because it worked out. You know what I'm saying? So I still get to do what I want to do. He still gets to do what he wants to do. And we're both passionate business owners and we get to be here with our kids every day. But it's definitely hard being a support system for a professional athlete because they are training all day. They're going on Christmas, Thanksgiving. And it's just really hard to kind of plan your life when they're just so, their schedules are so demanding. So.
And speaking of your kids, how have you handled their education? Because Jamichael has played for several teams, have they had to switch schools every time he switched teams, or are they homeschooled?
So Jada, she's our oldest. She's 12. So she's been through it all since the beginning of our career, since we were, young adults graduating college. And I think she's been to a lot of schools. She's now in the 6th grade and she's been to like 4 different schools. Now my other children, they're still pretty young and they're just now getting to school. So that's kind of like why we're stationed in Alabama to kind of make sure they have a strong foundation. We don't want to just keep moving them everywhere. So, but Jada, she's changed schools a lot. So when she did finally find her community and her friends, we made sure we stay here just so she can feel supported.
Gotcha. Okay. So you're the author of the Stronger Everyday ebook that provides mental health tips and coping strategies for teen girls and young women. When did you develop a passion for mental health? And can you talk a little bit about the ebook?
Yeah, so my ebook, Stronger Every Day, is basically giving young women tools and resources to help them cope with any mental health issues they may be dealing with, from anxiety, depression, suicidal thoughts, self-care, self-worthy, uncertainty in their lives. I first kind of got a liking, well, not a liking, but started to dabble into mental health because, for one, my daughter, we were in COVID. She was not used to being locked down at all. She's one of those kids that likes to go outside, play. So it's kind of like, okay, let me find something for Jada to do. So that's when I created my coloring book, Dance in the Rain. Big shout out to Brandi Turner, my teammate, my ex-teammate. She really did her thing on that book. As far as illustrations, formatting, she's really, really smart. Dr. Brandi Turner, I'm sorry. But I just kind of see how young women struggle today, especially around that middle school, high school age. They're so influenced by social media and what they see, and they kind of try to mold themselves around it, and they're just so unhappy with a lot of things. So I just want to be the person to kind of help them transition and kind of, go through life without any hiccups or, issues mentally.
Gotcha. And I want to piggyback on that. Shout out to Brandy. Really good friend of mine, my sister. Huge supporter of Sports Minded. Huge supporter of me. So I appreciate you. Just like Courtney said, very smart. Yeah. Okay. So your Together We Can Foundation is hosting a girls' summit this weekend. Is it the first one or something you've hosted before? And what do you want the girls who attend to gain from this event?
Well, this will be the first event that we're hosting this year in Montgomery, Alabama. Me and my husband, we have started a foundation called Together We Can, where we provide educational resources, basketball camps, we do food drives, back to school giveaways, whatever you can name. It's a day of empowering, inspiring young women to help them pick career paths, be inspired, and basically just kind of like to get them to see how life would be in a way that you don't have to feel like you need to be something on social media, basically. You can have a normal life, be a normal person, and not have to worry about your image and just things of that nature. So I'm excited. Hopefully, this is something we can do every year.
Okay, good deal. Now, you and Amber Jones, who was a guest on my last episode, are launching a new podcast called From the Sidelines. And I think it's ironic because I had planned to interview her and then interview you, and I had no idea that y'all were launching a podcast. So I guess that's divine alignment. But it makes sense, when you think about it. Both of y'all originally Jones girls from Fairfield to Midfield. Both of y'all are state champions, played college ball, entrepreneurs, wives. Amber is the wife of a basketball coach, and you're the wife of a is he, I want to say current or is it like just kind of free agent? Is he still okay? So NBA player. Both of y'all play in the MLK Women's League and are mothers to daughters who now play basketball. So it makes sense that y'all started a podcast. So I want to know how it came about and what people can expect from it.
Amber is my girl, and she's so smart and knowledgeable about a lot of things. And I've known Amber, but I've never really had time to kind of sit and get to know her in a sense. So over the last few years, we have been working together with certain events, and I see her out, and when I go to Midfield, I kind of pass her way and I see her on social media. So I had this idea that I wanted to start a podcast just to kind of give kids tools to help them because I see like the game is changing now. You know what I'm saying? Like the basketball IQ is not there. They're getting lost in the offers that they get and they're going from school to school to school to school. So I was just like, let me reach out to Amber to see if she would be interested in kind of doing a podcast. You know what I'm saying? It's called From the Sidelines, like our point of view from the sidelines. She's with her, and it's kind of like we're the same person, entrepreneurs, husbands are always gone, whether it's coaching, playing ball. We have kids that we're raising, and we're trying to figure out this life thing too together. So I think our viewers can expect us to give like some real life, experiences about who we are, what we deal with, how we can help this next generation. We're going to highlight some of the top talent in Alabama. We're going to go to some games and get some interviews with players, coaches, and just kind of show a different side of basketball that you normally don't see.
Okay, so is it going to be video, audio, on social media? Y'all going to go live?
Yeah, so we're going to do a live in studio sessions and then we're going to take it on the road sometimes to like games. So like let's just say we have a big game versus Winona in midfield this week. We're going to help build that anticipation to see, excuse me, the camaraderie between the two schools. Like there's history there. Like, we want to see these top players go head to head.
Okay. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Okay, so as I mentioned, you have a your oldest daughter Jada is now playing basketball. So what type of parent are you when you're watching her play? Are you yelling and coaching from the side or from the stands, or are you waiting until after the game to give feedback?
You know what, Brittany, that's so tough. And I don't know. Both. I think my expectations can kind of put her in a shell sometime. And I try to remember that she's not me. And she has to find her own way in this basketball world. Now I will talk to her and I say, hey, let's try this different sometimes, or you're not doing this right. But if I feel like there's some strife between us, I'll kind of step back and I'll, get quiet for a few days or just let her figure it out on her own. But I've tried that training thing and I promise you, it's not for the weak. It's not.
It's funny because when I was at the youth game they had before the play-in game for the MLK Women's League, and you were watching Jada, it was like, come on, Jada, come on. You were coaching, but it's like, let me catch myself. Let me just fall back. Let me just calm down. So it's a little bit of both. And it's just so funny to watch how you were playing and now having a child, and you're trying to figure out how do you help them and just still, just let them grow on their own. So it's funny and it's cool at the same time.
Because one thing I did at one point, I felt like I was criticizing her too much. And then at that point, I don't want to take her love away from the game that she has, because they're still young and she's still trying to figure out if this is something that she really wants to do. Jada is very talented. She plays volleyball, she plays the violin, she's a A honor roll student. So I tell her all the time, this is not something that you have to do. But if you choose to do it, just know that I'm going to be there with the fire behind you, pushing you. So I think she's still trying to figure it out. And I just want to support her in, whatever she chooses to do. It doesn't have to be basketball.
Yeah, that's good. And I think we were so focused when we played. I mean, you played more than one sport, but it was rare that we played more than one. It was like, okay, I got to focus in on this one because it's year round and I need to do all this. But kids now, they're exploring and venturing into different sports to see what they really like. And then you don't have burnout because you're playing the same sport all your life. It's just like it could be fun to do something different. So that's good that she's involved in different things. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I just really, like you said at the beginning of our conversation, like my time at midfield was golden, and I just hope and pray that, all athletes can kind of get some type of experience like that, whether they're winning or losing. I really love my teammates. And to this day, like we have, bonds and conversations. We attend each other weddings and births of children. Like Tyler, her son is about to graduate high school. I remember going to his, her baby shower. You know what I'm saying? So it's always so fascinating to see, you guys just being adults. And I still look at you like my little sister. So Asia too. I just saw Asia this past, well, earlier this year. And I'm always happy to see you guys doing well. And even though we don't talk every day, I just want everybody to know that I still love them and I'm only a call away. And I try to support Midfield high school girls still to this day. So I'm just so proud of y'all. I really am. Especially you, Brittany. You've always been smart and you know what I'm saying? You always had a great head on your shoulder. You were like the, how can I say this? You were just like the voice of reasoning for us. Like I just know you would just sit there and you would think, and it's just like, well, no, that doesn't make sense. Like you were our safe place.
You almost did the two fingers. Y'all used to be doing that. I was in deep thought. Yeah. But no, I go ahead, finish.
You are our voice of reason. And it was like, whatever Brittany say, who you like, no, we ain't doing that. And we've never seen you lose your temper. We've never seen you get upset. You were always calm. You always did the right thing, made the right decision. So, I'm just so proud of you. I
Well,
really
thank you. I appreciate that. Losing the temper, that was young Brittany. Nowadays, adulthood, Lord have mercy. But no, I appreciate that, Courtney. And like you said, I loved my time at Midfield as well. I loved all of my teammates. It was fun. And I wish, I don't know how many teams are having that type of experience we had. It was one of a kind. And that just means we need to get that reunion together so everybody can get together. We really need to do
For
that.
sure. Okay, we can work on that. We can work on
Yeah.
that.
Yeah, let's do that. It's
Okay.
on video, so we gotta do it now. We done put it out there.
I got you.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you so much for coming on
Thank
and joining the
you.
platform, Courtney. Thank you
All
so
right.
much.
Well, I'll be excited to see what you do next, Brittany. I'll talk to you soon, okay?
Okay, this has been another episode of Sports Minded. I'm your host, Brittany Young. Until next time, y'all be blessed. We out of here.